Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. It's week 8 of high school football, and it started last night with Austin East becoming the first team to knock off Gatlinburg-Pittman this year, as the Highlanders had made it all the way up to number 4 in the state in 3A football. Joining us now, Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. Jesse, how are you?
Doing well, John. How about yourself?
Doing quite well. So we've made it to what is a huge open date. Did you can you remember so many schools being off in a particular week like they are this week?
I can't remember a specific week, but usually schools tend to gravitate towards a certain week, and it just so happened to be this one. I believe maybe 130 schools across the state are taking a bye week this week, so there are a number of teams absent from the list of games tonight, and still got some good marquee matchups to cover, and like you mentioned, one of those was last night down in Gatlinburg, but it's a very light schedule tonight as everybody kind of rests up for this last leg of the regular season.
Yeah, I guess it kind of goes hand in hand with fall break, but with what we saw last night, speak to the Roadrunners. Stumbled out of the gate 0-2, but they've won 5 of their last 6, and Coach Phillips has the Roadrunners running, doesn't he?
To watch them now compared to what I saw in week 1 against Webb, it's night and day. Really the first 2 weeks of the season when they couldn't even put a point on the board. And this was a team that had an all-state caliber quarterback coming back. They had an all-state caliber skilled players, and just to watch them stumble out of the gate was very unexpected. But for them to go on the road last night into Gatlinburg-Pittman, a team that is built for playoff success, that has great line play, great quarterback play, one of the area's top running backs, and go in there and win that football game the way they did, speaks to the improvement that Austin East has made really over the last handful of weeks. Like you said, now they're 5-3. They're in the number 2 spot in the region standings, looking ahead to their schedule. They're not going to lose another game here in the regular season in terms of region play. So Austin East has gone from really kind of not forgotten about, but a lot of question marks above its program's name, to now a firm number 2 seed going into the 3A playoffs. And it's just a great coaching job by that Pittman. Did not have probably one of their top playmakers last night on offense or defense. Carlitos Lopez, who's one of the area's better receivers and defensive backs, was not there last night. He had been ejected in a previous game and had to sit out last night, and I thought they missed him greatly. The offense sputtered at times, throwing the football, and his downfield capability on offense was sorely missed, and made Bryce Akey a little bit easier to defend out of the backfield. So, no excuses. Austin East played a great game, but I know Gatlinburg-Pittman wish they would have had their full array of players last night.
What's changed about the Austin East offense? Is the quarterback playing better? Did they have some injured players that returned? Did they change something on offense? Jesse, what is it? How did they get that turned around?
I think you do see better quarterback play out of Trey Foster. I think early in the season he was trying to maybe press a little bit and be the superstar that everybody had kind of pegged him to be, and having watched him in those first couple of games, he just didn't look himself. The balls weren't coming out of his hand at a nice trajectory. They were kind of nosediving, and I don't know, I just feel like he was out of sorts the first few weeks, and you could tell. And Isaiah Ligon was kind of a disappearing act out of the backfield, and then you see him rush for over 270 yards last night. So it was just Austin East not being on point at the first few weeks of the season. I don't think they really changed anything, because Trey Foster is still playing the way that he does, running the football and making the big plays through the air when he needs to. And I just felt like there was a team that just did not start well to the 2019 season, maybe lost a little bit of confidence, and just needed a couple wins to get it back going. And I think you could probably trace it back to that big win over Fulton, when they dropped 70 points and Trey Foster had 8 touchdowns, that really proved to be the catalyst for this turnaround of their season.
So Bradley Central's 5-1. They go to Maryville 6-0. The Maryville quarterback, Cade Chambers, 5 touchdown passes last week. Running back T. Hodge is still battling turf toe. One, do you think Bradley Central can test Maryville? And secondly, do you think T. Hodge plays?
I do think Bradley Central can test Maryville. Now, how long they will hang around tonight, that remains to be seen. But Bradley Central is a team that really should be undefeated right now. They let a game slip away in week one against Farragut, one in which they had a double-digit lead, and they have a McCauley transfer at quarterback who's kind of taken this program into a different level of play this year. And he's got great skill talent around him, and this is a Bradley Central team that puts up a lot of points. So Maryville has a great defense. I think we all know that, looking back to what they did to Alcoa just a few weeks ago and keeping Alcoa out of the end zone for the first time in 5 years. That's a big feather in the cap for Maryville to kind of flaunt and boast about. So I think Maryville will be prepared for this game. It's really been hard, though, Jimmy, to get a gauge on T. Hodges' turf toe. Derek Hunt, the head coach, told us a couple weeks ago that he didn't think it was bad as T. Hodges' turf toe case from a year ago. But here we are, you know, 3 weeks deep into this thing, and he's still not playing. Now, I think a lot of that is probably precautionary measures, given the teams that they were playing and knowing that they didn't need T. Hodges to play in that game to win the football game, because they do have an outstanding talent in Parker McGill at running back that they can use when T. Hodges is out. So Maryville's built for the long haul. They're there to win state championships, and they want T. Hodges to be a part of that come November. So if they can keep him out an extra week and give him some extra rest, I think they would do that. But tonight, it needs to be all hands on deck, and we'll see if T. Hodges is able to go.
Farragut's 3-3 after a comeback win over Science Hill, and they go to Dobbins-Bennett, which is undefeated. Dobbins-Bennett has posted three straight shutouts. What chances do the Admirals have on the road?
I actually like Farragut's chances tonight. I predicted them to upset Dobbins-Bennett, and I'm doing so even with Matt White out of the lineup still for Farragut High School. Matt White has kind of proved himself to be one of the area's better running backs through the first 3 or 4 weeks, and he's been hurt and still on the mend, and told me he won't be back for another week or two. But Farragut was able to really manufacture offense and manufacture points against a good Maryville team and move the ball even without Matt White. And I think that gives this team a little bit of confidence. I think Gavin Wilkinson, the quarterback at Farragut, has kind of found his rhythm again and starting to produce a little bit with his wide receivers. So I like Farragut's chances to get this upset tonight. But Dobbins-Bennett is markedly improved from what they have been over the last handful of years, and I know that excites a lot of people up in the Tri-Cities area. But for some reason, Jimmy, I just have a gut feeling that Farragut might pull off this upset tonight.
Jesse, you guys do such a great job covering all high school sports, but you also do a great job of showcasing who is going to go where for their next level of competition. And as you talked about, there are a lot of SEC schools that are making visits to Knoxville. In fact, we even saw a local area freshman offered by Mississippi State this week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Greenback offensive lineman Tyler Jeffries, a player that we've been high on all year and have kind of mentioned here and there on our website, pulled in an offer from Mississippi State yesterday, and that's his first big-time Power 5 offer. And we saw that happen with Adarius Redmond, the wide receiver, the freshman out at Powell, who got a Kentucky offer. And Louisville has come into the area as well and has started to offer people. So there are a number of players in this area who are getting looks at. And I know the Tennessee fan base here probably gets a little agitated when they see that SEC schools are coming in and offering their guys and there hadn't been a Tennessee offer next to them. But that's just kind of the way it is right now. Some of these schools try to get a leg up on Tennessee in their backyard and put the offer in first and kind of force Tennessee's hand.
Not only is it the stretch drive for football, as there are 3 weeks remaining after tonight in the regular season, but, boy, things are really fired up in soccer and in volleyball. If you would, just give us a couple of teams to watch in each sport.
Yeah, I mean, we're focusing on volleyball and soccer and cross country and all that right now. State golf as well. We got it all kind of covered on 5starpreps.com. And Maryville was able to knock off Farragut last night in district volleyball and get a one seed for region play next week. And Farragut had to win a 5-set match against Heritage, who had an unbelievable year last year. And Farragut had to go 5 sets last night just to reach the final to extend their season and face off against Maryville, and so those teams both advanced. And West High School and Oak Ridge battled in District 4 AAA last night, with Oak Ridge winning, I believe, its fourth consecutive district volleyball championship. And they have some fantastic players that we've written about this year. And so it's all kind of coming to a head. I think region play for volleyball is next week, and you got district soccer that's getting ready to start up very, very soon. And Bearden High School in soccer has been one of the area's best teams to write about, and they took care of Oak Ridge, I think 6-1 the other night. Oak Ridge soccer has had a very, very good year, double-digit wins, and had won their district. So that was kind of a preview, I think, of maybe a playoff match to come. But those are just a few teams that we're kind of targeting, keeping an eye on for this postseason in volleyball and soccer.
Jesse, Catholic should handle West Green tonight, but I was wondering if you think Catholic's win over Brentwood Academy last Thursday will jumpstart this team to where it will roll over these next few weeks.
Yeah, I would think so, Jimmy. I mean, anytime you beat Brentwood Academy, a four-time defending state champion, you do it with a sophomore quarterback in Caden Martin, and you do it on national TV. I can't think that's going to hurt you in any way. It's just, can they stay healthy enough? We've seen a number of their players relegated to the sidelines over a concussion protocol or what have you. So they need to stay healthy here on this home stretch of the season. And we try to catch up with Steve Matthews this week and kind of get an idea of what their playoff picture looks like. And they know it's not a guaranteed thing right now at Catholic High School that they're in the playoffs. And there's some very big games coming up after this West Green game tonight, and namely being Baylor and having to play at Baylor next Friday night. And, of course, Baylor gave number one McCauley everything that they wanted a week ago. And, of course, Baylor has Elijah Howard, the running back commitment for Tennessee, who was at Webb School of Knoxville, and now he's the superstar player down at Baylor. And so it's going to be a very tall order for Catholic to finish the season strong. They also have Father Ryan and Brentwood that they have to play as well.
How do you see what I think is a compelling matchup tonight at Bearden? It's the game that will be heard on AM 990, and that is the Bulldogs playing host to Jefferson County. Patriots got off to a great start. Bearden now healthier and just coming off its first win of the season and a big region win.
Yeah, and Josh Warden, I talked with Morgan Schindlever, the head coach at Bearden, on Prep Sports Tonight on Wednesday night, and we discussed this potential turnaround for Bearden. You look back at the first five teams that they played in the first half of the season, and they had a combined 25-1 record, and they were having to do so without Colin Ironside, their senior starting quarterback, who was injured, I think, after the West game, and just was not able to play. And so Bearden was trying to knock off these big-time premier programs with a freshman quarterback, and that's difficult to do. And not just a freshman quarterback, but they had six or seven other starters who were out and injured, and so they're all back now. And so it's a very timely return to the lineup for Bearden, as they have some games coming up that could really catapult them up the region standings. A big game tonight against Jefferson County that I think is very winnable for this Bearden team. And then they turn around next week and play rival Farragut on Thursday night. So if Bearden can somehow manufacture two wins in these 2 weeks right here, they can make a significant jump in the playoff picture in 6A and improve their seating and their standing for the playoffs.
Jesse, we always appreciate it. Where will you be live tonight, and what games will you be attending?
We'll be out at Greenback at Coalfield tonight. We're doing a little small school football tonight, and Greenback got some premier talent like we discussed, and that's a big-time rivalry game, and so we're going to make the trek up to Coalfield tonight.
All right. Well, hope everything goes well this weekend. Thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, John. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you. This is Jesse Smith, the 5starpreps.com.